You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm excited to have Ralph and Marcia Ring as my guests. Ralph Ring is one of the surviving members of a team of technicians and scientists who worked for the legendary inventor Otis T. Carr. Ralph worked on Carr's team, which developed anti-gravity spacecraft based upon direct tutoring from Nikola Tesla. He worked at a U.S. government-funded research facility in magnetics, levitation, and teleportation. His search eventually led him to participating in teleportation and esoteric consciousness. His dream since birth is to produce levitating homes, cities, and countries. He and his spiritual partner and wife, Marcia, talk on expanding consciousness, thereby bringing our dreams closer to reality. Marcia is an ordained minister who worked for Bendix Field Engineering during the 1970s, which was a deep space tracking station where she experienced tracking of unknown objects and discovered that JPL Laboratories knows fully about life in the multiverse. Together, Ralph and Marcia share about expanding consciousness, which has the power to manifest reality. You can find out more on Ralph's website, www.bluestarenterprises.com. This coming June 4th, they will be hosting an all-day event at my friend's Volcano Ubuntu Center, which I will be attending. You can find out more about this incredible opportunity on the show bio, where I posted the link. So let's welcome Ralph and Marcia to the show now. Hi, Ralph and Marcia. How are you tonight? Do we have you? We had you.
It's the Blue Star Enterprise, singular, not plural.
Oh, okay, great. All right. So that will be, I'll correct that after the show.
Okay, all right. Well, off we go, huh?
Yes. Well,
we're so excited to hear that you're going to be at the function in Volcano.
Wonderful.
We're looking forward to that. We've done a workshop last year, a two-day workshop, so this year it's just going to be one day, but it's going to be a fun experience, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and Cheryl Scott and Bill O'Hara, two of my closest friends in the world, and I've been going to their place over the years, and I'm just thrilled at how they've transformed it based upon Michael Tellinger's version of Ubuntu, which is energy exchange and getting off of the dollar, the artificial energy exchange using the dollar.
Wow.
So you guys are both going to be there all day at the event hosting it, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I can't wait to meet you.
Well, same here. My gosh.
Well, you know, you were right in the thick of everything, right when Tesla was coming out with his work before J.P. Morgan shut him down. And, you know, the government has been involved with all of these different things deeply and still is. Can you share a little bit about what you feel is being not brought to light because of the collapse of the economy, as far as free energy goes?
Sure, I'll do my best. Let's see if I can kind of put it into some kind of a context where it'll be simple to understand for the public. I didn't work directly with Tesla. I worked with his protege, which was Otis Carr, and he worked with him for 3 years. And then I joined him in California and started to proceed to build spaceships eventually. There's a lot in between that, but right now we have pods located all around the world in oh gosh, scores of countries. We have pods, and they're just little groups of people. There's not a big, there's no corporate or organization attached. It's just people being people and working on projects. And they're doing very well. They've come to a point where they are advanced as they can be because they're not let any further because of the consciousness of the populace is not quite yet ready to let go of the idea that they have to do things, and instead of that they would like to do and like to see things happen. So so that's where we're at. Marcia and I have known each other for 35 years. Marcia, explain a little bit of how we met.
Well, we both, I lived in, or I just moved to Prescott, Arizona, and that was in 1980, and Ralph and his lady moved there towards 81, and I was holding spiritual meetings in my home, and one of our mutual friends invited Ralph to tell his story about working with Otis Carr. So that's how we actually met, and we've been friends and stayed connected all these years, even though we both had our other challenges and journeys, to go through. He got married, I got married, and when his wife passed away, probably around 2006, we got together, although we had worked together, the three of us, for a couple of years prior to that. Yeah. So, yeah. It's been a neat journey.
Oh, it sounds fabulous, actually. Well, and of course, you were working with JPL Laboratories and most of the corporations that are involved with this kind of research are aware of, ETs and the space travel and everything else because they're clued in.
It was so amazing. I mean, this was way back in probably maybe 78 that I went to visit JPL. I was working at Bendix Deep Space Tracking outside of Barstow, California.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I know Barstow.
And that's when I heard we went down to JPL Labs, and they gave us quite an intense tour. And they, at that time, were knowing that there was life in the multiverse, but they did not know how to connect with them. They were putting on the side of a gold record, which they had all of the languages known to us at that time, music, any kind of connecting.
I remember that.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so funny because I never knew how that turned out.
No.
Until recently.
Well, what happened? Wasn't there something that came back in a crop circle?
Yeah. Yes, and Patty Greer brought that.
Yes,
out.
I love Patty.
Yes, and I was so excited. I just wanted to touch base with her and tell her. She kind of verified what the outcome of all of that was, and it was very and that just was about 2 years
direct
ago.
Contact, yeah.
Direct contact.
And didn't so they send a warning as well that to beware of something or other? False somethings. I don't remember, but it was a direct response to that record, and it was kind of a warning as well.
Oh, I don't remember the warning.
I'm thinking that Patty did tell us something about that.
Yeah,
That it was something like,
Like what?
I'll find out. We'll check with Patty, and the next time we talk to you,
Right, we'll compare notes.
Compare notes, yes.
Well, that's incredible. And Ralph, you worked directly with levitation and teleportation and magnetics, and I'm assuming that they have fully functioning levitation and teleportation devices by now. Is that correct?
Oh, gosh, they've had it for so long. That's what those flying boxes and diamonds and weird-looking craft are. They've had them for years and years. There's nothing new to them. They're in advanced technology, and they have chosen to stay behind the curtain, which is unfortunate for the rest of the people because we don't get the truth. We don't even get half of the truth. And so people are living in a kind of a state of awe and envy and fear based at the same time.
Yes, it's very discouraging, and it seems like there has been a huge push, at least over the last decade or two, to get this information out, and they are just not going to budge.
Well, they're budging now. We've been in touch with all of our pods. They're all at the starting gate. We have devices and things that would make life a lot easier for people overnight.
Wow!
If we were allowed to, if we were invited to present them, and the reason, well, part of the reason is that they people lack the understanding that is necessary to operate some of the machinery and some of the things that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And on our website, I know if people are not familiar with mind and what the mind can do, they would think that by using things from the mind to levitate or to teleport would seem to be impossible.
Right.
Until the University of Minnesota, and it's on our website, the University of Minnesota created a little video called Mind Over Mechanics, where they had a little miniature spaceship flying all around the gymnasium using only the mind to do that. There was no mechanical instruments except the mind that was levitating and commanding it to move.
Well, you know, that's how I've heard that the Greys and some of the ETs operate their craft. From, you know, what we've been able to determine from people who have whistleblown about it, that they use their mind power. It's all communication through telepathy.
Yeah, we're way behind because we're using all these impossible ways of doing things that are totally and really not necessary if people would start, you know, putting more emphasis on researching the mind, not the brain. The brain is a computer, and it operates the vessel that we seem to be inhabiting right now and the illusion that we're experiencing.
Right.
But if they use the mind, and we refer to that as our pilot light or our intuition,
yes,
feeling the heart math is a good example of they've gone a long ways now in explaining that the mind and the heart are connected and working in sync together, you can reach a higher consciousness almost instantly if you go within to your information, not go without. So that's what we've been sharing with people. Marcia and I have been practicing it for years now, and we've got to a point where it's quite comfortable. It's a little difficult to explain to people because they feel that and they don't know much beyond the box or the five senses that they use, but so they feel things are still not quite possible. But every day, new and different things are showing up on the internet, which is changing their ways of looking at things.
And well, thank goodness! Yeah. Thank goodness for people like the two of you to share that these things are possible.
Oh yes, indeed they are. And
are you able to use your abilities to move things? I always thought that it was silly that we couldn't walk through walls and bilocate and fly. But I'm guessing we could.
Sure. And the only reason, again, is knowledge and the wisdom to use the knowledge properly. And that deals with the consciousness that we are basically, fundamentally, and in Webster's dictionary, the soul is defined as an infinite immortal being. That's who we truly are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who we think we are is a space traveler traveling through dimensional space and decided he could try the third dimension for a change.
we slipped on a banana peel.
Probably.
Yeah.
Did we make a mistake?
Well, I tried to go back when I came out of the womb.
Well, it's been a very interesting journey, and now we're able to, when people are willing, to show them what we've been working on for all these years. It's been 55 years, and we've been doing these things, and it's just a matter of changing their ways of looking at things and their vocabulary, cleaning up their vocabulary from a negative connotation to a positive one. And that's the energy, that's the light energy that begins to make things happen, manifesting energy, because that's what we are, is extended outside the form or the bodies that we seem to be inhabiting. And voila, it happens. I mean, you don't want for anything, because wanting just begets wanting. It goes around like a squirrel cage. And hope is another one. They're hoping and wanting. They always wind up in the same place they started and never got anywhere.
Right, right.
So we tell, you know, we try to invite them to use their intentions and their wonderful creative ideas and put them into a capsule that that feels very, very loving and comfortable to them, and then realize that you're doing that from the mind, because the brain will not accept it. The brain says everything's impossible.
Right. So, well, you kind of have to lose your mind in order to gain the world.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Wouldn't you say, Mara?
Yes. The mind is so important, and it's kind of interesting that the brain is basically here to control or tell our water vessel how to be and what to do and that kind of thing, but it doesn't go to the outer, to the inner, and to the whole mindset that the mind does. I mean, everybody connects by the mind or thoughts that are in the universe that have been there and will always be there. And
they're leading to a point now where they're going to wake up someday and realize why they've never had to work or strive or search for anything, because they've already got it. When we came into being, we all had equal everything, and so we've already got these powers, these powers of love and peace and harmony and violence and warfare as well. And it's just a matter of choice the way people want to look at things. Turn them around from harmful activities to creative and very nurturing activities.
Isn't there an extensive, let's call it a shadow government, or some people refer to it as Illuminati, or you know, whatever you want to call it, but isn't there a tremendous control system that is striving with all of its might and money to keep us in a state of being perpetually dumbed down and unable to think and grow outside of our own consciousness and our limited senses?
24/7. They've been at it for a long time. Yeah. And their ploy is that secrecy is for our own good, that there is a thing called national security and the Patriot Act and all those things.
That's baloney.
Yeah, which they're not accurate at all, because there's nothing greater than the truth.
And and there's nothing worse than the truth suppressed or a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
And the fact of the matter is, one of my guests, Ole Domegaard, has been researching false flags and movie star and politician murders for 30 years. And he's pretty much gotten it down, that they're all done by the same group of global people that have a crew that go around and create terror events. So, you know, it's been known that countries do false flags, meaning they blame another country for something that happens to them, like 9/11 might be an example. And then that gives an excuse to do something worse to another country and take over that country's assets or do a number of other things that are under the radar.
Well, World War II is a good example of that, and if people use the Internet and do some research, they'll find that the wars were created by a monetary system.
Mm-hmm.
And they were backed, both sides were backed by the same power source.
Yes, and some of those were included IBM and the Bush family.
Yes, yes, exactly. Thank you.
And then the Titanic was sunk because the bankers wanted to create a Federal Reserve, and they met at Jekyll Island, and so they got rid of the Titans, who had a lot of money and who were against the Federal Reserve. So, you know, things that we often perceive as accidents or great disasters were not at all. They are simply planned events that are manipulations designed to achieve a goal that is against our better interest.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
To keep us programmed and under their thumb, you might say. And we have been brainwashed throughout the years, and I think that's what it's all about. It's that greed gets you syndrome.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Well, the point we're approaching quite rapidly now is the realization of who people really are and not who they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are an authentic soul,
and
not a synthetic being. And there's a big difference because we are creators and we have very, very, very strong powers. And as we think, as we do things, we also manifest and create things. People don't realize it because they are in one very narrow state of consciousness instead of an expanded one, which would be aware of all the things that they do and the way they do them, because we all do the same things.
Mm.
All the time, teleport and walk through walls. Walking through walls is just a matter of realizing the wall and you are energy. And when you become one with anything, when it's called resonance, when you become one with anything, then you can change it. There is no wall until you get to the other side of it, and then you can think it back again or whatever. It's really that simple.
Well, apparently I've read enough stories about the Greys walking through walls or coming through the ceiling or floating through windows and things that it seems like it must be a fairly easy thing to manipulate matter to be able to do things like that.
Yes, because it's the appearance, it's the projection, the way they see things.
Mm-hmm.
Are different because they're using their eyes to try to see things. And their eyes are tuned into the third dimensional frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're going to be able to see, except in rare moments, is third dimensional flashes.
Mm-hmm.
And the flashes are outside of this reflected light, this hologram that we're living in. The flashes come from realities that are beyond,
mm-hmm.
beyond the
mm-hmm.
third dimension. And until they relax and start realizing there's more than life, more from the thoughts of the cradle to the grave than they ever realize, that life goes on forever. And we're just stopping off for a classroom called Planet Earth for a while.
It's such an interesting theory. And actually, way back when we were told that everything has already been created that ever will be, it has been, and it is all created now, and we're just experiencing in that zero point or that oneness center.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think like that, we can understand a lot of things that are happening, and that each person has a journey that they've agreed to prior to this experience, and so we're each one fulfilling that agreement or whatever that we had before we actually were sent to the planet Earth. I think that's kind of a fun way to look at things, and it helps go through the experiences that we do go through here on planet Earth.
As a brief example about changing your mind and changing your reality, I'll give you a word that everybody has thought of, a very dismal word that has been used in our language for quite some time, and that word is depression, depressed.
Uh-huh.
When people think of it, they automatically lower their vibratory rate. They don't realize it, but they say, oh, that's a terrible thing. And so what they think is what they get. If they want to think being depressed is terrible, then that's the way, until they take the time to look at it differently, that's the way it'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to look at it differently is just take the word and say there's a person that in point that was sitting on the side of the road, and he seems to be in a very depressed state, and people looking at him would say, yeah, he's you'll never, you know, he's gone, he's not there. Until they take the word around and take it apart and say, you know, maybe the guy's in a deep rest, and he's gone, he's had enough of this world, he's gone into his own world for a while, and when he's ready and he's rejuvenated himself and started his batteries again, he'll come back out stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
right.
Just a way of looking at things,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
a change of the way you look at a word.
Yeah, but, I like that.
But when you say depressed or deep rest, there's a big difference in your vibratory rate. It goes up to 23 decibels higher, and that's higher consciousness. That's simple.
Well, will you be sharing information like that at the event on June 4th?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, good, because I can't wait to. That's going to be wonderful hearing you guys share about all of this stuff.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yes. And Cheryl and Bill are so wonderful to be around anyway.
They are.
Just amazing people. It's just I can't even begin to say how wonderful they are.
Well, they're people helping people.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we're all trying to do. Yes, filled with love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's the way the world should work and the way that it would work. Where it would be a win-win situation. And I see a world in which we no longer need to rely on profits for in a monetary system, because that whole system is defunct.
Well, it's crumbling quite rapidly now between all the debts that everybody owes everybody else. Spain owes Italy, Italy owes London, London owes us, we owe London. I don't know.
It goes on
to 000. You might as well give it up and start over.
And
that's where we're headed. We're going to have a system that works for everybody on a win-win basis, but it has to be a transparent system, not a secret system.
Yes, absolutely.
Everything has to be in the open.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything is so opaque right now, and the secrets have built up for so many decades that nothing gets out, and we're kept in a state of complete darkness about what's going on in the world, and we don't get any truth. All we get is bread and circuses, like they did in Rome, and you know, little entertaining, distracting bits of information that are not really all that entertaining, but they are distracting.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the pods are waiting. We when we are invited by the 100th monkey syndrome of the critical mass, as soon as people realize I've had it with this system, I want to see what these other guys have been working on in private, then we will go open source with what we've been working on, and be glad to, you know, share with people things that are already in use on a multidimensional basis.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can't thank you guys enough for doing that.
Oh, well.
Can you explain what pods are, Ralph?
Yes, I was just going to ask you. Thank you, Marcia.
Oh, okay.
The audience doesn't recognize it.
Well, I for a while, I came out of the residence project located in Hawaii, and we branched off from the resident project, and we became the elders of the round table, and we were effectively trying to put together people, places, and things to start building not only spaceships but devices that could be used for people on different levels, even
in their homes
and mm-hmm. in their medicine and in different walks of life. And I had to go back and forth to Hawaii. I was living in Las Vegas at the time, and I had to go back and forth, and I got really tired of that. But that's another story. But the way we got the word pods was every morning when I was there, we'd go out at 7 o'clock and start swimming with the dolphins.
And
they had... Dolphins are very... These are spinner dolphins. They're different than the babies that Marcia swam with.
Oh.
But when they come in pods, and they're playful little guys. They just love to play, and they will intermix with other pods on a very loving and caring way, and they would do it for a while, and then all of a sudden, they all went back to their own pods and went back to their own space.
Huh.
And it lasted for us about an hour from 7 to 8 in the morning or something like that. So I said, well, when people ask me, well, what do you call all these people working on these devices in different countries? And you have them on Skype and everything. And I said, well, we could call them pods, just like, you know, peas in a pod or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how the name started, and everybody accepted it. So that's the way the name got started.
Wow. Now, can anybody be in a pod? For instance, if I wanted to learn how to develop a particular device or something, could I be connected to your website and learn how to do things like that?
Everybody's always invited. There's an open door 24/7.
Oh, wonderful.
And there's no credentials necessary. It's who a person authentically is, who they feel that they really are. We are blessed when those people come into our arena, because they are beings here that have given up the synthetic way of life and retreated to an authentic state of mind, and
mm-hmm.
Living in the jungles, we have them in Morocco, we have them in Peru, we have them all over,
mm-hmm.
and they're just authentically living by natural law, which is simply loving and living by the laws of nature, which is really relatively simple and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the pods are doing this, almost all of the pods that we know are doing it out of their pockets, but they're interested in sharing with mankind to help make life better for us as we journey through this third dimensional sphere. And so that's an exciting thing too. That everybody, they're humanitarians basically, where they want to help everybody. They want to help the people have fresh and better water and electricity that we don't have to pay an arm and a leg for, or work, you know, 40 hours a week for.
Well, we're going beyond electricity pretty soon now.
Because it's gone on far too long.
Yeah.
I came from some future place where they didn't have electric cords, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because all my life, even as a little kid, I knew that that was not right.
Well, nature gives us some clues of just being in nature and the ability to use light in many different ways. We have the fireflies in the air, and we have the bioluminescent marine life, which is so totally abundant. And it's there are natural lights that we could be using instead of artificial lights.
We have
one of the things that we're hoping very soon to be able to encourage people to look at is just operating by vibrations and not by electrical impulses. So there's no danger of getting electrocuted or anything.
Right. Well, you know, I had a dream once of living in a living house, and the house had a roof with, some kind of plastic, and it contained algae, and the algae was reproducing, and it fueled the house, and then it also produced food for the family. And that seemed to me like it was a possibility, that there's no reason why we couldn't have living houses. And the spacecraft that some of the people have talked about appear to be living craft.
Oh, that's the hard part to get people to realize. When we got to the prototype stage in this is in Apple Valley, Hesperia, California. We decided we'd done our part. We have levitating craft and teleporting craft available, but we need a manufacturer. So our PR man, which was Major Wayne Aho, contacted General Motors and had them send a rep out, and Carr and a couple of engineers, myself and physicists, we went out to meet them and explained to them we would like to get the tire from ruining everything and having to put asphalt and cement down. That we can take the wheel from a vertical and put it in a horizontal position. Operate above the surface of the earth and let it go back to a garden.
That's a great idea.
They didn't like the idea. They called us outlaws.
Well, of course not.
Because our source of power has always been pure magnetism, not electromagnetism. Humans have electromagnetism. And the craft that are endlessly abundant in the multiverse are using pure magnetism. There's a big difference. With pure magnetism, there's no need for fuel because it's everywhere. The air we breathe, one breath could operate this planet for a year.
Wow.
You know,
that's what's so sad is that there is limitless energy, and it's boundless and it's infinite, and we can't tap into it because it would destroy the balance of power and the people who control the oil and the fracking and the rest of it would no longer be sitting on the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, right.
And you know, GM killed the electric car, so they didn't even want electric cars out there.
I know.
Let alone floating cars.
Well, we were fortunate enough to present our case, and we brought a small prototype with us, and when Carr opened his suitcase and out came our little floating craft, the engineers that they brought, and they brought a physicist or some very sharp engineers, looked into the canopy, because we left the canopy with Lexan so they could look inside. The first thing they asked was, where's the ignition switch and where's the steering wheel? And, you know, and here it was moving around the room, just like I aforementioned the University of Minnesota, using the mind to control the object.
Wow.
We were doing that back in the 50s.
Wow.
And so they said, well, you know, explain magnetism. And we briefly went over it. There's no accident. You can never have it. He said, well, there goes the insurance companies. And you guys And no maintenance.
Thank goodness.
No. There goes the engineer. There goes all. You're changing everything. You can't do this because that's going to disrupt. We have hundreds of thousands of people working for GM all over the world, and you're going to take their paychecks away And Mr. Carr very politely and humbly said, "Sir, if you give them a chance to be who they really are, the reason they came here, the reason they're here is to be a creative being and make a world of peace and love.
Yes.
Don't have them punch a time clock or use all their energy and they have to go home and sleep for a couple of hours and go back and do it again. You would have magnificent people and places and things."
Oh, yes, especially when people are allowed to express their creativity freely.
Oh, yeah, it's just amazing, but They called us outlaws and told us when we left that you put them up, we'll shoot them down because we don't want you guys around. So we've stayed in the shadows, or in the light, I should say, compared to the shadows.
Well, yes.
For quite a while, and we're just kind of waiting and it's happening. People now we get responses on our email and our Skype. where people, I never knew this, and they wake up and they realize something, and then they get onto something from that,
mm-hmm.
and pretty soon they're creating again, and they're quitting their jobs and going into creating a new adventure for themselves. An independent, sovereign state of being.
Oh, that is so wonderful, because that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And it just has, a lot of it has to do with releasing our old beliefs and letting go of the old paradigms, which no longer work, and following your own excitement and your joy and your bliss.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what's it's so exciting for us is that we have quite a few calls from young people in college.
Oh, yeah.
They're understanding. They know that there's more than what they're getting taught in college, in school, and they want to know more, and their minds are just, they're just soaring. They just have that inner intuition working really strongly, and they want to know more, and they want to be more than they're being taught.
And when they come to us, that creates a pod in itself. Just their willingness and their authenticity, they become a pod, and they say, can we? And we say, well, you already are. We're just, if you would accept our invitation to be a part of our greater network, we'd love to have you. So
yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of kids that are coming in with memory of their past life, their most recent ones, and their Mary Rodwell talks about this. She has just come out with a new book, as a matter of fact. And some of the kids are advanced in technologies that are thousands of years ahead of ours, and they remember. And so Mary was talking to one of these kids that was about 7 or 8 or 9, and she asked him about what his job, you know, on these ships, and she said, I don't think you'd understand, Mary.
Yes.
But they're here.
Oh, yes. And they've been here for quite some time.
Oh, yes.
Trying to get people to wake up and realize they're living in a splinter of light, just a small crack of light compared to what reality is. It's all light everywhere. It's all a greater adventure. And but it's working. People are waking up, and different things are changing. And it's getting to the point where we can push one button now and destroy the world. I mean, that's how close we are to annihilation. So, and if they push the button, that means all of us are in danger of going, not just some of us. So that's how powerful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a choice now of saying, well, what else is new? And that's where we come in. When we're invited, we'll show them.
And on the other hand, I know that we have the White Brotherhood helping us, and there are many, many of the ETs that are of a higher nature, the hierarchy, you might say, that are helping us with this world, because I don't really feel like the one button is going to end this.
Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I just feel like we have more help than we realize at this point. And I think when we have something that comes to us, the government ways or somebody saying, no, you can't, if we call on that higher power, we are going to get that help.
Yes.
We do already.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also that it's important for us to not wait for things to change, but to create the world that we want. If we know that this is not the world as it could be, and people are out there like yourselves, being so empowering with this information about anti-grav and so many other things, that we can literally create our own world, and that will kind of peel off, I would think, from the world that's dying, because it's not going to be able to sustain itself.
No. And, you know, I think that goes right back around to what Ralph first said, and what we all know, is that we are creative beings.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't realize how powerful we really are. And as we do realize, and it's not the ego, I'm not talking about it, I'm talking about the inner God self in each one of us,
mm-hmm.
the oneness. And as that 100th monkey again comes about, and we all take a understand and what we know, we can create and we can make this place a wonderful, better world that it has been created to be.
Definitely. Definitely. And it could be a paradise.
Yes.
Well, you know, Jacques Vallée had a beautiful vision for the future as well. I thought he had a pretty good idea.
Oh, yes.
He really did.
You know, a resource-based economy, and that appealed to me quite a bit, but I'm sure that people found flaws in it and thought that it was some new communist thing that was going on, but it wasn't. It was really quite an ingenious way to approach life, to base it upon the resources that are available and not... it was a not-for-profit world. It was a very, it looked pretty exciting. Yes. They're still doing it today, even though he passed away recently.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we were sad to hear that, too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, Buckminster Fuller's gone, and his work is still, researched and used and quoted, so... I think this all connects together, and it will come together soon. I hope within our lifetime.
I do, too.
Well,
but I know it's happening.
It's people like you guys presenting a media that is free and unrestricted from being told what to do and how to do it to the extent of being able to exercise freedom of speech to people and put people on telling their stories. And you guys are the gift of the world right now, because the big media, the Fox and NBC and all the rest of them are all under, they're all one in one.
Oh my gosh, I can't even watch those stations.
We don't either.
That's just impossible. And people are beginning to realize that these little shows. Well, it's not such a little show anymore, but. BBS Radio started about 12 or 13 or 14 years ago, but that the internet radio shows that have taken off, that many of them have very good information, and that's the only place you can find out the truth.
Yes.
There aren't too many people out there that are, really wanting to share it.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of broadcasters are more interested in what they're saying than what their guests are saying.
Yeah, that happens.
In your travels, did you have an opportunity to communicate with any extraterrestrial beings or crafts that you might have seen?
Well, sir, I may at this point be talking to one. it goes by your inner feelings about beings and where they dwell in silence, not what they necessarily appear to be on the outside.
Uh-huh.
So yes, we've been fortunate enough and lovingly enough to be involved with a lot of choice meetings with benevolent people, and I might say Bill and Cheryl are two of those people. They a lot of us are realizing who we really are and what the love can do in life instead of the hate and the fears and the doubts.
But it is interesting when we have people come into our realm, into our vibration, and then they just disappear.
Yeah.
So we do know that we've been contacted by higher beings.
Yeah.
Because
you
turn around and they're...
Yeah, and they just politely, in a very loving way, in a very benevolent way, you turn around for a split second and they're gone.
So it only takes a second.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. We've even had one of the settlers that worked, this maybe is getting a little bit off the subject, but one of the fellows that worked with Otis Carr and Ralph Ring actually came through a medium not too long ago and told them that he where some information was and that it needed to go to Ralph Ring. And the person, the medium that it came through, did not know who it was until about a month or two later, looking in a book, saw the picture of
Michael
this.
Michael Sollers.
Wow.
Yeah. Michael Salas was in from Hawaii. He wrote the book that had a picture of this Wainoho. And he actually contacted a medium here, and that's how Ralph was contacted. It's pretty amazing what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's like we are being touched by it. You wouldn't consider him a really an ET, although he's just somebody that lived in this realm, but still living in another realm.
Right.
I don't know if you you don't really consider that an ET, but there is no death, and once we really realize that, there's no stopping all of us that believe and know that.
Yes.
There's no stopping us because we have all of the major ones that are helping us from wherever they're at now too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very good sign for this kind of work right now.
It is. It's wonderful. And that just happened this last maybe 6 months through it.
And the thing I should mention here, and we get some help from many, many other people like ourselves that are broadcasting now in their little shows, one of them being a person by the name of Matt Kahn. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and he's he in his own way are affecting changes in people quite rapidly, because when you listen to what he's saying between the words and
right
and so forth, you get a better picture of what's really going on. For instance, he's advocating the adversaries that we have are still our brothers and sisters, whether they realize it or not, and they are important. If they come into our field, they are important to be loved and understood for that purpose. And he is telling the public, like we are as well, that you can start looking at adversaries and adverse situations as a growth period, that they mm-hmm. make you stronger. It's like exercise. If you exercise enough, you get stronger.
Well, he's an amazing person, I have to say. And I went to one of his conferences in Grass Valley last year, and it was really just mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Every word that he said just resonated.
Yeah.
And the logic was so pure that there was no argument going on inside my head. It was just, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's beautiful. And so I do like Matt Kahn. And another person that's influenced me quite a bit over the years has been Daniel Jacob, with the Reconnection Site.
Hey, that's our old buddy, Marcia and I.
We were so excited
We studied him, oh my gosh, years and years and years ago.
Yeah, and he's still around.
And, you know, studying him and reading, you know, all the input and everything, one night we couldn't get enough, and we were staying up later than we should have, and it was going into morning,
yeah,
and we kept saying, "Well, we've got to stop this. We got to go to bed, and so forth."
We both had computers in the office space,
and we were watching the Reconnections, and all of a sudden the light flashed, and then we heard this deep voice, "Go to bed now."
It was booming.
We didn't know what to think of it.
We stopped short and looked at each other,
and we went to bed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really
pleasant. We got so connected with when we would read his Reconnections and study it. We didn't just read it. We studied it together. And our rooms, Ralph was living in Las Vegas, and I was in Phoenix. Our rooms would become a different space. It was a different color. The things were there, but it was like a different vibration was there.
Yeah.
Yes. Vibration
like that group was really touching us.
Very powerful material.
Yes.
It definitely changed my life. I mean, the way I see things was altered permanently when I started to really get what they were talking about, and the multiversity, the multiverse, and And pretty soon it became the Danielverse. He's still posting on Facebook, and I said hello for you both.
Thank you very much.
So he's such a wonderful person.
We had sent in, you know, he always had these beautiful words that he
sculpturing,
you know, and presenting. So we came up with one. I was talking to a friend of mine one night,
and that was when you just told him about the press.
No, it was realize.
Oh, that's right.
That if you look at things with your physical eyes, you're not going to see very much until you learn to use your real eyes, which is the pineal gland, use your mind to look at things instead of your eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I sent it in to him, and I think he did.
He responded,
published it and said thank you. So.
Yeah, he responded. It's been a few years back.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, we've actually talked about him in our talks and about the group that he works with.
And he's been on our website from day one almost.
It's so interesting that you're part of that, and we're so glad that you let us know that.
Oh, yes. And, in fact, it reminds me that it's about time for me to have him back on the show again.
So, oh, gosh, please let us know.
I will. I definitely will, because I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. And he's been on the show a couple of times over the years, and so I'm going to get him back on the show. That's all there is to it. That's one thing that came out of our conversation.
Yes.
And, of course, we're down to our last couple of minutes.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that whatever's important that you're able to share about before we have to close the show.
Well, I urge people to be authentic, be who they feel they are, not who they think they are. And it has nothing to do with ego. It's just because ego is an adversary that we need in the picture sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And but if they feel of themselves as being an authentic being, then they will realize that that's who they've always been, instead of who they think they are. That they have to do anything. They don't have to do anything but be who they are.
Exactly. I mean, that's so beautifully said, and it's so simple. I mean, the great truths are so simple. You can be yourself, you know.
Yes.
Don't be anyone else. You can only be yourself. I would add to what you said, and be sure to go to the June 4th event at the Ubuntu Center.
Okay.
Meet Cheryl and Bill. Meet you guys, Ralph and Marcia, and meet me, the Zany Mystic.
Yes.
And we'll all be there, and it'll be a wonderful time full of laughter and breakfast and lunch and... I just can't imagine a better time could be had than to spend time with people of like mind.
And if you need to know the schedule, go to Volcano Ubuntu Center on the internet, and you'll find out.
You're talking to the audience now.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I think he's going to mention it in Volcano, California.
Yeah.
And I put a link up on your show bio, and that will remain up. So people can just go back to your bio from tonight, and they can find that link there.
Oh, that's wonderful, then. That will be easy.
It makes it easy.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you and all the people that keep things going on the air for all of us. You know, that's beautiful. We love you.
That's Don and Doug at BBS Radio, and they're wonderful people, so... I thank you guys, Ralph and Marcia, and I look forward to seeing you on June 4th. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight. You're just wonderful people.
And you're such a wonderful, zany mystic host. I love it. Thank you.
We love you. Thanks a lot for everything.
All righty. We'll see you soon.
Adios. Bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night.